You're at work radio every day, 9 to 12, only on KC 107.7.
Welkom terug hier by KC at work. Jy kuier saam met my Michelle. Dis nou 10:32 en ek het weer my baie spesiale gas saam met my, Dr. Marihan Cronje. Môre môre, baie welkom.
Môre môre. Ja, nou is ons nie meer lus vir werk nie, né? Almal is in 'n
vakansie
by en ek Kersfeest
gees. Die festive spirit.
Ja.
Vir alles jy nou in die winkels ook begin rondloop, jy voel het, die muziek, kersliedjies wat begin speel en alles is mooi opgemaak. Dr. Marihan Cronje, a caregivers counselor who specializes in educating other informal caregivers on how to stay emotionally and spiritually well before, during and after caregiving by focusing on and embracing their experiences. So Dr. Marihan Cronje, my first question to you today, can you quickly refresh the listeners' minds on part one of self-care guidelines?
Ja, Michelle, we've summarized the spirit-soul-body connection last week, which formed the baseline of any person, but especially for a family caregiver. And we've touched on how to handle bad behavior and how emotional intelligence can assist with family caregiving. So can you remember, Michelle, what is the first rule of taking care of others?
Self-care and take care of yourself.
Yes, that's the most important. So on an airplane, we know that the oxygen mask will descend here in front of you. And that's also so weird, of always weird for me, because we, in normal life, we learn to care for other people.
Yeah.
But here, what do you do? As we all know, the first rule is to put on your own oxygen mask before you can assist anyone else. So only when we first help ourselves can we effectively help others. So caring for yourself is one of the most important and one of the most often forgotten things you can do as a caregiver. When your needs are taken care of, the person you care for will actually benefit too. And while we know caring for your aging parent, your adult child with a disability or other family members is a rewarding experience, we also know that it's physical and emotionally demanding and draining.
Yeah.
And we've also talked about the generation gaps. Can you remember that?
Yes.
Older caregivers are not the only ones who put their health and well-being at risk. If you are a baby boomer who has been assigned with a caregiver role for your parents, while simultaneously juggling work and raising adolescent children, you face an increased risk of depression, chronic illness, a possible decline in quality of life, and also premature death. And lastly, I think what we've also mentioned, the most important is to remember the three C's of caregiving. We did it in the past, actually. And that is comfort, compassion, and companionship.
Mm. My second question, Dr. Marihan, when taking care of someone, what will you say caregivers need the most?
The question, what do caregivers need most? That can seem intimidating, especially for those who have never walked this path before. So often the answer is actually quite simple. What they need most is to know and feel that someone truly cares about them. And we've already talked about the matter of self-worth and feeling worthy. A simple hug or I appreciate what you do, that sometimes mean a lot.
Yes.
Not seeking for that, but just someone giving it to
you. Yeah, just a small gesture. It is holiday time, and I am sure there are family caregivers that also want to go shopping, spend time with their friends before the year end. Friends or other family may offer help. What is the right way to handle these situations?
So, Michelle, sometimes caregivers have misconceptions that increase their stress and get in the way of self-care. Of the most expressed I've often heard is, I'm responsible for my parents' health. If I don't do it, no one else will. If I do it right, I will get the love, the attention and respect I deserve. Now we come again to the self-worthy thing. And our family always takes care of their own.
Yeah.
So we want to keep it in the family.
Yes.
And I promised my father I would always take care of my mother.
Yeah.
And that's also one. Or whoever you've promised on the deathbed. And then also listen how you communicate with yourself. You can talk to yourself and say, I never do anything right. Or there's no way I could find the time to exercise. And that is all examples of negative self-talk. And that's another barrier that can cause unnecessary anxiety. Instead, rather try positive statements. I'm good at giving my father, my mother, whoever you care for, a bath. I can exercise for 15 minutes a day because we have to remember that your mind tends to believe whatever you tell
it. Yeah.
And then because we base our behavior on our thoughts and beliefs, attitudes and misconceptions like those noted that I've mentioned now can cause caregivers to continually attempt to do what cannot be done, to control what they cannot control. And the result is feelings of continuing failure and frustration and often an inclination to ignore your own needs. Ask yourself what might be getting in your way and then keeping you from taking care of yourself. And maybe you just feel guilty to go out. It's the same with new parents now. They just want to care for the little one.
Yes.
And they don't feel good about leaving the young baby to a babysitter. They feel guilty.
Yeah.
So how can we ask others then to help? When people ask you if they can lend a hand, and the listeners can maybe relate here, did you maybe tell them, thanks, but I'm fine? So accepting help from others isn't always easy, but you may worry about being a burden, or you may feel uncomfortable admitting that you can't do this by yourself. But many caregivers later say that they did too much on their own, and they wish they had asked for more support from family and friends.
Yeah.
Understand that many people want to help and it makes them feel good to contribute. No, it's an act of caring. But if you hesitate to ask others for assistance, so here are some tips that you can maybe start to work towards that. Ask for small things at first. And if that makes it easier for you, then remember that many large jobs can only be broken down into simple tasks. And if you aren't comfortable asking face-to-face, send a text or just email with your request. And then consider a person's skills and interests when thinking about how they could help. Some other people may be stronger in areas that you are not strong enough. And then be prepared with a list of things that need to be done and let the other person choose what they want to help with. And if someone offers help, practice saying, thanks for asking, here's what you can do.
Yeah.
And then be honest about what you need and what you don't need. Not every offer is going to be helpful. You have to draw a line somewhere. And then be prepared for someone if they say no when you've asked. And don't take it personally.
Yeah. Next question, and this is our last question for the day. On a day-to-day basis, what can family caregivers do to practice self-care?
Yes, here are a few tools in my box today. I think the first one will be reducing personal stress.
Yeah.
How we perceive and respond to an event is a significant factor in how we adjust and cope with it. And the stress you feel is not only the result of your caregiving situation, but it's also the result of your perception of it.
Yeah.
How you perceive it.
Yeah.
Whether you see the glass then as half full or half empty, it's up to you. It is important to remember that you are not alone in this experience. There are millions of people in the same or experience the same. So we know that your level of stress is influenced by many other factors as well. And with time are too limited here to mention all of those. But we've already talked about steps to manage stress. Recognize warning signs early last or the previous week. And these might include to feel irritated, sleep problems, and forgetfulness. And then you have to start to go to someone for help. Identify what you can and cannot change. That's an important thing. When you try to change things over which you have no control, you will only increase your stress limits and your frustration.
Mm.
It's like knocking on the door and no one opens.
Yeah.
So ask yourself, what do I have some control over? What can I change? Because even a small change can make such a big difference. And I just think about December and this time.
Yeah.
Everyone is running and everyone is so busy. So you have to go and sit and intentionally reduce your personal stress. And then the last one here will be act. Take some action to reduce stress. And that will give you back a sense of control. Then my second tool is setting goals. Setting goals or deciding what you would like to accomplish in the next 3 or 6 months is an important tool for taking care of yourself. We've already spoke about it's a journey, it has a beginning and an end, but that doesn't mean, although we know this end, that doesn't mean that we cannot set goals for a period.
Yes.
And here are some goals that you might set, some examples. Take a break from caregiving. I know you cannot totally step away, but get some help.
Yeah.
That's what it means. And get help with caregiving tasks like bathing and preparing meals. Engage in activities that will make you feel healthier. Goals are generally too big to work on all at once. We've already seen break it down. We are more likely to reach a goal if we break it down. So everything comes to that. But if your head is spinning and you're running from A to B, we sometimes tend to forget. So it's the time then to sit down and write your goals down and break it down. Then number 3 will be seeking solutions. Seeking solutions to difficult situations, then, of course, is one of the most important tools in caregiving because there are help outside. Once you've identified a problem, taking action to solve it can change the situation and it can change your attitude to be more positive and giving you more confidence in your abilities. Again, it comes down to break it down. And then number 4 will be, and that for me is the most important, because this can create so much havoc if you, and that is communicate constructively. Being able to communicate constructively is one of a caregiver's most important tools.
Yeah.
When you communicate in ways that are clear, assertive, and constructive, you will be heard. And you will get the help and support you need. But if you are out of control, again, we came back what we told the listeners last week. If you are out of control and you have outburst, how can you actually think that your caree must communicate with you in a proper way? Another tip that I can give is use I messages rather than you messages. Saying I feel angry rather than you made me angry.
Mm.
Because that's what we tend to do.
Yeah.
If the person don't understand why you are in such a state, you start, but you do this and you do that. And that will enable you to express your feelings without blaming others or causing them to become defensive. and then respect the rights and the feelings of others, and especially for those you care for. Do not say something that will violate another person's right or intentionally hurt the person you care for. Recognize that the other person has the right also to express their feelings.
Mm.
And then be clear and specific. Speak directly to the person. Don't hint when someone come and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And now you sit and then you start hinting. And hope the person will guess what you need. Other people are not mind readers.
Mm.
When you speak directly about what you need or feel, you are taking the risk that the other person might disagree or say no to your request, but that action also shows respect for the other person's opinion. When both parties speak directly, the chances of reaching understanding are greater. And then be a good listener. Listening is the most important aspect of communication. If you listen well, you can speak well, or you can answer them well.
Yes.
And then number five, learning from our emotions. We also talked about that last week. Remember that you are not your emotions and you are not your circumstances. So that is a strength to recognize when your emotions are controlling you rather than you controlling your emotions. But actually that works in every situation.
Yeah.
Our emotions are messages to which we need to listen. They exist for a reason. However negative or painful, our feelings are useful tools for understanding what is happening inside or to us. Even feelings such as guilt or anger and resentments, that all contains important messages to us and to others. But others won't come and talk to you directly about your emotions.
Yeah.
So learn from them and then take the appropriate action. So Michelle, this is a short session this week, and I want to end this week by summing up and tell the family caregivers out there that it is not selfish to focus on your own needs and desires when you are a caregiver. It's an important part of the job.
Yeah.
You are responsible for your own self-care, because no one will do it for you if you don't do it for yourself. And I want them to focus on take time off without feeling guilty. Participate in pleasant, nurturing activities. Take a good book or take a warm bath. Seek and accept the support of others. Don't feel guilty about it, and it won't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Seek supportive counseling when you need it, or talk to a trusted friend or even your pastor. And then identify and acknowledge your feelings. You have a right to all of them. And change the negative ways that you view situations.
Sure.
And that's all from me.
Bye-bye, dankie Marihan. Jy gee elke keer soke wijse raad. En soos jy sê, een mens moet nou die caregiver moet na hom of haar self ook kyk. Want jy wil toch die beste van jou gee vir die patiënt wat daar is. En as jy nie na jouself kyk, hoe gaan jy jou beste kan gee om die persoon te versorg?
Precies.
En baie keer van die caregivers het ook families by die huis. En jy moet na hulle toe ook teruggaan en jy moet weer in 'n ander mindset weer teruggaan na hulle toe. Jy moet 'n mama wees weer vir jou kinders by die huis. So jy moet na jouself ook kyk, want jy sit nou hierdie dag spandeer jy met hierdie patiënt en dit is drainage, dit is, want jy vat dit emotioneel aan en dit is baie keer soos jy sê, is dit fysisk harde werk, jy moet daai persoon fysisk omdraai en help.
Is dit reg?
So vanaand kom jy by die huis en jy het weer klein kindertjies dalk om dat, so jy moet na jouself kyk, ek kan dit sien, absoluut.
Ja, dis reg, en onthou dat mense daar buite, as jy aanhoudend terugkom huis toe met dieselfde issue, hulle raak moeg.
Ja.
Hulle raak moeg, nie vir jou nie, maar vir die situasie.
Die situasie.
En dan is dit wanneer ons begin om balle in die lucht te hou, ne? Want nou moet ons onszelf in die lucht hou, jy moet hierdie patiënt in die lucht hou, jy moet die mense vir wie jy by die huis omgee in die lucht hou, en dan is dit wanneer dit alles te veel raak vir ons. So jy moet kyk na jouself, so dat jy 'n balans kan handhaaf.
Ja.
En kan terugkom huis toe, ek weet jy dra nog steeds die las.
Ja.
Maar jy moet nie die las op die ander sit.
Ja.
Waarmee jy die huis deel nie. Of
nee.
Met die mense die daar moet jy jouself kan wees.
Ja.
Ja.
Ja, nee, jy moet nie een oomblik skuldig voel nie. Mens enige persoon moet, jy moet daai bietjie me time. Ek weet baie mense sê hulle voel skuldig om 'n bietjie me time te vat, maar jy moet, dis vir jou eie gesondheid
en
jou.
Gaan sit jy net ergens en drink 'n koppie koffie alleen en skakel net 'n bietjie af voordat jy miskien huis toe gaan of voordat jy miskien weer in 'n ander omgewing moet kom.
Ja.
Kry net weer
voor jy weer 'n ander rol gaan oorneem.
Presies, kry jouself net bietjie weer bymekaar.
Ja.
So volgende week gaan ons gesels, dis volgende week ons laaste vir die jaar.
Sjoe, ek kan dit glo nie.
Ja, en ons gaan gesels oor verhoudings, maar ek wil hier praat in die aspek van familieverhoudings en ook oor wie gaan nou vir ouma of oupa sorg in hierdie tyd.
Daar is 'n baie belangrike ene.
So ek wil graag die luisteraars daar buite uitdaag om vir jou boodskappe te stuur voor Dinsdag volgende week. Wat jy vir my kan aanstuur, of hulle is welkom om vir my direct te stuur, en ek sal graag wil weet, hoe hulle hierdie tye in 'n jaar deal met hierdie verhoudingsaspek.
Ja, dan kan ons lekker gesels daaroor, lekker oor hier, lekker antwoorde teruggee.
Dis reg.
Absoluut.
So ek daag nou die luisteraars uit, dan kan ons sommer ook 'n bietjie sien wie luister vir ons.
Daar het jy dit. So daar het jy geluister. Dr. Mariaan soek vragies voor volgende week. Die 12de Desember is jy by my. Die nommer in die ateljee 0824141077. Jy is welkom om 'n boodskapie te stuur as jy nou ook 'n vraagie het. Dr. Mariaan, met afsluiting sê net gou weer waar die mense jou in die hande kan kry en kan kontak.
Hulle kan 'n e-pos stuur na care@caregiverscouncil.com. Hulle kan ook vir my kontak by 082-784-1474.
Baie, baie dankie.
Dis 'n groot plesier.
So stuur daai boodskapies in. Jy kan vandag 'n boodskapie instuur as iets is oor vandag wat jy wil vra en jy het luister nou wat die onderwerp is waaroor Dr. Mariaan volgende week gaan gesels, so stuur slank hy vra in, dat sy vir jou kan antwoord en jy presies gaan weet hoe jy so 'n situasie moet hanteer. En as jy iets, selfs 'n vraagie wil vra soos waar jy al begin het, Dr. Mariaan sal enige tyd daai vraag vir jou antwoord. 082-414-1077. Dr. Mariaan, dankie vir die tyd.
Dis 'n groot plesier.
Altyd 'n voorreg om jou saam met my hier te hê.
En sien jou volgende week.
Ek sien jou volgende week. Casey at work on Casey 107.7.